one action-packed few verses we have here. This small section of God's revelation to John is just filled with so much to take in. First of all, we have these 10 horns who are really 10 kings. They give their power and authority to this beast who we're told just before our reading has 7 heads. They then wage war on the Lamb and those who are with him. Now those of you who listened to Ben's sermon from a few weeks ago will know that the Lamb is Jesus. But there's still so many questions here that come to mind. Who are the kings? Who is the beast? Why are they waging war on the Lamb? So many questions come to mind, and I just think we could spend hours and hours exploring just these 3 verses. And that is exactly what we're going to do now. No, don't worry, we're not really. I don't want to keep you from your Sunday lunch, so I'll try and keep it a little bit shorter and a little bit more focused. So what are we seeing here in this brief snapshot of Revelation? It seems like a scene from The Lord of the Rings, but it's actually something a little bit more familiar. Now, I can tell what you're thinking. Matt, if seeing 7-headed beasts is a familiar scenario to you, then you really need to see somebody about that. Look, just hear me out, okay? So, we've got these 2 sets of people. First of all, we've got the kings. Verse 12 tells us that the 10 horns you saw are the 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but for 1 hour will receive authority as kings along with the beast. So these people will be given authority, and what will they choose to do with it? The way I see it, they've got 2 options. They could choose to yield all this power and all this authority to the Lamb, or they could choose this big flashy thing that seems way more appealing than a Lamb and is far more likely to give them everything they desire. So of course, we're told in verse 13, they will give their power and authority to the beast. Given the choice between Jesus and something else, they choose something else. Is this starting to sound a little bit more familiar yet? The second group of people, they come right at the end of our reading, in verse 14. And they're the people who are with the Lamb. We're told, and with him will be his called, chosen and faithful followers. Faithful followers. These are the people who have the same choice to make. They could have chosen this big, strong, shiny something else. Or they can choose this Lamb. And these are the people who choose the Lamb. So the reason this is so familiar is because it's the decision people have been making throughout the whole of the Bible and the whole of history. We see it from the very beginning of time. We see it when Adam and Eve choose whether to trust God or the serpent. We see it when Judas has to choose between 30 silver coins or his friend Jesus. We see it in our own lives. When we decide whether we want to put our trust in and follow this 2,000-year-old man who tells us to do strange things like give our money to the poor and love our enemy. In these verses, we see both sides of the decision that every single human being has to make. So the kings choose the beast. They yield all their power and all their authority to him, and they wage war on the Lamb, on Jesus. And then, the craziest thing happens. In verse 14 we read, they wage war on the Lamb, but the Lamb will triumph over them. So these kings, who seem so authoritative, and this beast who seems so intimidating, are to be defeated by this Lamb, by this man, Jesus. We're seeing here a vision of the future. But at the same time, we've already seen this happen. We've already seen the act that leads the Lamb to triumph over the beast and those who side with him. It's the act of Christ's self-sacrifice on the cross. Let's not forget that this is why he's called the Lamb, because he became the sacrificial Lamb to defeat death and save his people. This is the good news of the gospel. It's the incredible act that saved us from the result of our sin. I wonder though, what would happen if you or I were to sacrifice ourselves to save somebody else's life? Yeah, we'd probably be seen as a hero. Maybe we'd even get a statue. That'd be pretty good. And the other person would be safe for a time. But there's nothing to stop somebody coming along afterwards and killing the person after we're gone. In fact, it's a biological inevitability that if we were to do this, the person would still die eventually. So I'm sorry to put a downer on your Sunday morning, but it is true. But with Jesus, it's different. And here's why. We're told the Lamb will triumph over them because he is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Now, in the Old Testament, we hear the term King of Kings used by rulers to make out that they are the top dog. They're above all other rulers. And the title Lord of Lords, well, that's reserved for God himself. By using this title, John is telling us that this man, Jesus, who died for us, is also God Almighty himself. He is the Lord of Lords. You see, God the Son humbled himself to become human and to become this sacrificial lamb. But then, as we're told in Ephesians 1:20, the Father raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. Remember what Jesus said when he gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28. And Jesus came and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." This means that when Jesus saved you, when Jesus defeated sin for you, that was the final say. There's no power in heaven or on earth with the authority to take that away. Jesus has the ultimate authority. If we choose Jesus, our salvation in him, our identity in him, our hope in him, it's forever. Because the one who loved us enough to die for us is also the one who reigns above all. Now, any authority or power that's given to men and women and to those things that they choose over Christ, it's just temporary. Remember that the kings will have authority for an hour. Now, yeah, often an hour can seem like it goes on and on forever, especially during times of lockdown when we're all stuck at home, we're waiting for it to end. But it will end. You know, the bad things that happen to us and the bad things that we see happening around the world, they can feel endless, but I promise you they are temporary. And their hour won't last forever. Whereas Christ's reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that will never end. You know, good lords and kings will come and go. Evil lords and kings will come and go. But as their Lord and their King, Jesus reigns forever. There's such comfort and such hope to be had in this truth. So you have a choice to make. Do you serve your own desires and passions? Do you want to serve this world's lords and kings? Or do you want to serve the Lord above all lords, the King above all kings, Jesus? He's calling to you now. He wants you to live in his kingdom. Will you follow him?